All right. Good morning, everybody. Today is Wednesday, January 3rd, 2018. And this is Before the First Cup of Jewels here on UCY.TV. Happy Wednesday, everyone. It is a crispy 10 degrees with a real feel of minus 7 here in upstate New York. So where do we leave off yesterday? We titled the show ELF, VLF, EMF, Skynet, skin antennas, no firewall, and blockchain brain. And I would have to say that yesterday's show is probably one of the scarier ones that we've done in quite a while, because there were a couple papers that laid out some stuff that was just absolutely mind-blowing. One was the skin antennas, and that was something that they discovered, I believe it was in Israel, that underneath your skin, we actually, our sweat ducts are made up of these coils filled with an aqueous sodium-like solution in our sweat that conducts electricity in the millimeter and submillimeter wave range. And one of the things that we know about millimeter wave is that is one of the technologies that they want to use to fuel the back end of 5G. And with the coming 5G, it's going to connect the entire world and the full Internet of Everything to the cloud to be able to run big data analytics and monitor you via a dashboard. And that will be everything from smart cities to self-driving cars to environmental sensors and little crazy things such as DARPA's plant spies, if you remember. We even looked at that, turning living things into sensors that can send data back to an operation headquarters. Well, then we ended the show yesterday looking at a story that was written back in 1998 by a lieutenant, I believe, at one of the Army colleges, talking about the mind having no firewall and a lot of different new types of weaponry that utilize the laws of physics and energy to be able to tap into biological systems. We also found out that DARPA had been working on a radio bio program to determine whether or not our cells communicate via electromagnetic frequency. Guys, this really is getting to a point where the technology is beyond the understanding of the common man. And just because they can't see it, it doesn't exist. But that is not true. Just because you can't see it means it's gotten smaller or more discreet. So the last thing that we looked at yesterday, and this is where we're going to kick off the show today, was putting the brain on the blockchain. We had run across blockchain and cryptography quite a bit in looking at this transhumanist agenda, and I really hadn't kind of understood how this fit into the big picture. But this article my friend sent me, we started covering yesterday, and we're going to finish today. I'm going to keep an eye on the clock. Really kind of lays out the future of where this blockchain technology, which, by the way, the year of 2017 was the year of AI, the year of 2018 will be the year of blockchain, and that's where we're going to kick off the show, and how this is going to be important to the future of the human race. So they say if 2017 was the year of Bitcoin, which I would say, maybe, but it was more AI, then 2018 is going to be the year of blockchain technology disrupting the technology world forever. Like, just what we need. Another disruptive technology to add to the pot. Ethereum, which is a leading blockchain platform and catalyst for a rampant number of decentralized applications and blockchain-based platforms, has proven over the past 6 months that it is far from a fad. It is more than a trend, and it is everything the internet always wanted to be, which is a fair and public way to store and transfer information. And that's what it comes down to, especially in lieu of the escalating conversations surrounding net neutrality. Thank the FCC for that one. I still think this whole net neutrality hoopla has to do with them wanting to get rid of all the licensing on the back end and turn it over to the big pulsating brain in the sky to splice, dice, and multiplex on the fly. There has never been a more poignant time for blockchain technology. Many compare today's blockchain revolution to the dot-com boom of the 90s, and those were my days in technology. And if that is the case, well, be prepared. And in many ways, they are similar. Hardly anyone understood what the internet was back in the 90s, but I did. And despite all the media attention around Bitcoin and blockchain-based ICOs, which are more affectionately known as initial coin offerings, kind of like an IPO, very few people truly understand the purpose they serve or what sort of future they can create. Well, we're beginning to. A great example, think about how many new companies in the 90s added .com to their names solely for the purpose of perception, and they did do that. And now we are seeing the same happen with blockchain and the brands like Long Island Iced Tea changing their name to Long Blockchain Corp. Which is ridiculous. The company saw an instant rise in its stock price of a whopping 200%, according to CNBC. And these are the sorts of stories that perpetuate the belief that cryptocurrencies and this blockchain thing are nothing more than bubbles waiting to burst. And that's what I've always been thinking on the backside. Or maybe the feds to come in and to decide that they are going to make a federal case out of it. But no, that's not what happened. If you can't beat them, join them, and we'll get there. So if you look at how much money was raised through ICOs in 2017 alone, the $1.2 billion as of August exceeded what was raised through conventional venture capital. This happened the same year that Ethereum was priced at merely $20, and its big brother Bitcoin had yet to even cross $800. So compared to where they both stand, there is no sense in even setting the current price, because by the time you read this, the price will have gone up again. You know, that is what really concerns me about people buying into these digital currencies, is because if you remember a long time ago, we spent some time looking at digital IDs and countries such as India, with their 1 or 2.1 billion people getting these digital IDs. And they wanted to also use it for government benefits. And it was going to be the one form of identification that allowed them not only to quickly form a level of trust with government organizations for them to hand out benefits, but it also was linked to your monetary accrual and your banking, so you could use it to buy and sell things. It's very interesting. Something we ran across probably a month or so back was this new digital ID thing that they are rolling out for immigrants. And if I'm not mistaken, there was some involvement of blockchain in there for privacy purposes to lock down the data so it was secure. But it was a digital ID, and they were saying, you know, people who have been displaced by war-torn countries and other reasons can now have a secure way and not have to worry about having birth certificates or whatever to identify themselves. Well, that would be their digital ID on the blockchain. So we're going to go a little further and take a look. It's not just about currencies. These digital currencies are a dangling carrot to get people to jump on board because of the greed factor. Remember, there are seven deadly sins that they wrote about in medieval literature. I studied a lot of medieval literature in college, and one of the things that I have realized is that those seven deadly sins are like these seven chinks in the armor where humans are easily manipulated. And if you can exploit those, you can make anything happen when you're trying to manipulate a society. So anyway, this digital currency boom, I think is the dangling carrot to get us all investing into the back end of what is going to become the new digital existence of the future. So, all right, anyway, so as more platforms are being built, more money will be raised. And as more money is raised, bigger and better platforms will be built, so on and so forth. And it's reinforced Ethereum's value at an exponential rate. So why this is not the dot-com boom, established financiers want to believe it is because of two major differences. First, you couldn't buy in and out of companies back in the dot-com boom. You made an investment in an internet company, and then you waited. But with things such as Ethereum, you can buy in, you can buy out, and you can use your Ether to buy in and out of decentralized applications that are also built upon the infrastructure. It is also a marketplace, not a slow and rickety investment vehicle like, oh, that was so 90s. Secondly, when people bought into internet companies in the 90s, they were speculating on just one company, one team, one horse in a much larger race. And when people buy into Ethereum, they are buying into the entire race itself. All the horses, all the teams, all the companies building on its technology. And for every user gain, there's another person sitting at the table saying, I think I believe in this. And that is powerful. And it is. And it's getting people to decide that they're just going to tra-la-la along. And I don't know. I mean, if you invested $20 back in 2009, you'd probably be very wealthy today. But is that blood money? Because where you see that this technology is heading in the future, I would almost think it is. It sounds like a bad Black Mirror episode that leaves you feeling very unsettled when it is over. So the decade from now, we will call this the blockchain boom. So for example, ShipChain is a blockchain platform aiming to disrupt the severely outdated world of freight and logistics shipping. And it already has partnered with a company with Purdue Farms, and this is an industry that hasn't moved in decades, and now it is poised for an unprecedented disruption by implementing blockchain capabilities and efficiencies. A different example is Dragon Chain, which is a blockchain platform, incubator, and marketplace that actually is an open source ecosystem for other blockchain projects aiming to spark and further mass adoption. Think of Dragon Chain as a catalyst for dozens upon dozens of other disruptive blockchain platforms. Oh my God, just what we need, making tools easier and more accessible to developers and innovative minds. So if ShipChain is an example of a company that is using blockchain to disrupt an industry such as the shipping industry, then Dragon Chain is an example of a whole other slew of blockchain platforms that will be built solely for the purpose of making it easier for entrepreneurs and innovators to leverage the blockchain. In 2018, we will see both of these kinds of platforms, industry-specific and blockchain adoption, exponentially increase. And as they do, we are going to witness a tidal wave of innovation. The differences between now and the dot-com boom, however, is that at the end, there won't be a crash, we hope, and there will be no bubble at all. There will only be a long list of companies that failed to keep up and those that came assimilated. So, now I ran across another story. I did a Google alert yesterday for blockchain, and I had a lot of good stuff this morning. This was out of the Financial Times. FT.com, Truth and Fiction in Blockchain's Brave New World. I thought that was quite an interesting use of the title. Why is the mere mention of this technology sent stock prices soaring? It's because people are stupid and they invest in anything that looks like it might make money because greed is a very good motivator. Before Christmas, a fascinating new phenomenon began to manifest itself. Companies, and this was published yesterday, companies previously not greatly valued by the stock market were finding that the simple addition of a word to their corporate identities could multiply their worth many times over, and that word was blockchain. Soft drink companies and obscure software firms alike were being transformed into potential tech juggernauts, or so their share performances would have us believe. However, the most interesting thing about all this is not that the stock market is easily dazzled by industry hype. That has been true for a while. It is the way a word can be detached from its original or literal meaning and transformed by the sheer power of imagination and gullible people into meaning almost anything one desires. That is really fascinating. And that's got to worry people, because this entire revolution is happening behind the curtain, and most people don't even realize or understand what it means or how deep this is going to go or what this is going to lead to, yet they are just pouring their money blindly into funding the technologies that cause this to grow at an exponential rate. As a phrase or concept, blockchain is almost meaningless, we are often told that it is the technology that allows cryptocurrency systems such as Bitcoin to operate independent of intermediaries or bank networks, right? But it's also a security system using cryptography and striping to be able to stripe blocks of data in disparate locations so they can't be easily hacked or cracked. And there are lots of different owners of lots of different pieces of the data to make it almost impossible to change a piece of that data. But in reality, however, Bitcoin is a bunch of pre-existing technologies assembled together to achieve a single objective, and that is the creation of a clearing system which runs independently of banks and which cannot be corrupted by sinister agents yet, and in which nothing can ever be changed unless everybody who owns a piece of it gives their approval. In terms of achieving that objective, the bundle has worked out reasonably well, though not perfectly. Glaring flaws have become increasingly obvious over time, and these include huge energy expenses of maintaining the system and capacity limitations and spiraling transaction fees. But one of the ways they're going to do this is to decentralize it across lots of different systems. Blockchain aficionados insist that many of these downsides can be avoided if only certain parts of the bundle are borrowed and not others. And there are no hard and fast rules about how many parts have to be borrowed for something still to constitute a blockchain. For this reason, most serious blockchain companies dropped the descriptor a long time ago, adapting their identities to reflect the bits of the pre-existing technology that they were using. The result is that such terms such as distributed ledger technology, permissioned ledgers, or shared database technology have become synonymous with blockchain, even though the underlying technology can differ greatly. It is hard to understand why the mere mention of blockchain should be capable of sending stock prices soaring, but something else must be going on. Looking back at his novel, Brave New World, Aldous Huxley warned that the combined challenges over population and resource scarcity would eventually unleash forces pushing society back into a medieval state. The system, he suggested, would be predicated on hierarchy overseen by an elite of social engineers whose objective would be to tie the lesser ranks to specific stations and roles in life, depriving them of liberty in the process. Yes, like by your defective genome that is connected to your personal profile that is stored in the national blockchain database. This system would differ in one significant way from the feudal systems of the past. We, the cogs in the system, would be conditioned to love our servitude to the point we would never think of challenging it. Or maybe we would be zippity-zapped by different frequencies beaming through the air that would change our chemicals to pleasurable and give us our dopamine dose every time we connect to the machine and live in our virtual worlds of fantasy where we could be anything we want. And according to Kurzweil, we could connect to the hive mind and be as intelligent or as sexy as we choose, he said. This would be achieved under the influence of badly chosen words applied without any understanding of their merely symbiotic character to experiences that have been selected and abstracted in the light of systems of erroneous ideas. Which is to say that if you associate abstract terms with positive connotations often enough, people will eventually interpret them as they see fit and not see them for what they really are. Keep telling the lie long enough, people tend to believe it. Perhaps that is what is really going on with blockchain. After all, while apologists still like to insist it is a liberating technology that can achieve magical solutions in all sorts of fields, it is just as likely to turn out to be a form of social engineering that ends up locking everyone into a highly regimented order that benefits none but the tiny elite. Ding, 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 ding. No wonder the stock prices of blockchain companies are up. I couldn't believe that that actually was out there and that was published, but that is exactly what is happening. So now I decided it might be good to look at a few of the different technologies that are out there and how they work on the back end and why it is important and how this is going to cause them to roll out into all kinds of different verticals that we deal with on a daily basis. So this is a story out of Investopedia, investopedia.com, November 27th, 2017, Bitcoin versus Ethereum, driven by different purposes. So it isn't all just about coins. This is about transactions and secure transactions and storage of data and huge big data databases where they can bag and tag everything and connect it real time to the machine to make the internet of everything. And these next three stories will outline all of that. Ethereum has received a lot of attention since its announcement at the North American Bitcoin Conference in early 2014, and a natural consequence of its rising popularity has been the constant comparison to Bitcoin, which was the first virtual currency. It is important for investors to understand the similarities and the differences both between Bitcoin and Ethereum. Bitcoin, the first virtual currency, was born several years back and introduced a novel idea set out in a white paper by the mysterious Satoshi Nakamoto. Bitcoin offers the promise of low transaction fees, lower than traditional online payment mechanisms, and it is operated by a decentralized authority, unlike government-issued currencies. There are no physical bitcoins, only balances associated with public and private keys, and those would be encryption keys. Over these years, the acceptance of a concept of a virtual currency has increased among regulators and government bodies, and although it isn't formally recognized medium of payment or a store of value, it has managed a niche for itself and continues to coexist in the financial system despite being regularly scrutinized and debated. Now let's talk about the blockchain. The attempts to understand Bitcoin more closely resulted in the discovery of blockchain, which is the technology that powers it. The blockchain is not just the hottest topic in the fintech world, but also a sought-after technology in many industries. A blockchain is a public ledger of all transactions in a given system that have ever been executed and is constantly growing as completed blocks are added to it. So every transaction adds another block. These blocks are added to the blockchain in linear chronological order through cryptography, ensuring that they remain beyond the power of manipulators. The blockchain thus stands as a tamper-proof record of all transactions on the network accessible to all participants. Think about this for a minute. The blockchain then offers a chance to work at lower costs with greater regulatory compliance, reduced risk, and enhanced efficiency. Now, I think back to the 80s with a game that we used to play called Tetris. And as the blocks dropped, you had to have the bouncing ball and boop, 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 and bounce those blocks out of there before you got blocked in behind the wall. I think that's what this is. This blockchain is this concrete wall that they are bricking us behind. And once you're bricked behind that wall, every single cell in your body is going to be able to be monitored and put into the blockchain. There's going to be a digital representation of you. So blockchain technology is being used to create applications which are beyond just supporting a digital currency. Such applications are often referred to as crypto 2.0, blockchain 2.0, or even Bitcoin 2.0. Launched in 2015, Ethereum is the largest and most well-established open-ended decentralized software platform that enables smart contracts and distributed applications to be built and run without any downtime, fraud, control, or interference from a third party. Ethereum is not just a platform, but also a programming language running on a blockchain, helping developers to build and publish distributed applications. The potential applications of Ethereum are wide-ranging and run on its platform-specific cryptographic token called Ether. And in 2014, Ethereum launched a pre-sale for Ether, which received an overwhelming response. Ether is like a vehicle for moving around on the Ethereum platform, and it is sought by developers looking to run applications inside of the Ethereum. This is very similar in idea to the Singularity Net by Gortzel. Ether is used broadly for two purposes. It is traded as a digital currency exchange like other cryptocurrencies, and it is used inside Ethereum to run applications and even to monetize work. According to Ethereum, it could be used to, quote, codify, decentralize, secure, and trade just about anything else. One of the big projects around Ethereum is Microsoft's partnership with Consensus, which offers Ethereum blockchain as a service on Microsoft Azure so enterprise clients and developers can have a single-click cloud-based blockchain developer environment. And that's actually pretty huge in the corporate world, I would imagine. So Bitcoin versus Ethereum. While both Bitcoin and Ethereum are powered by the principle of distributed ledgers and cryptography, they differ in two very different technical ways. For example, the programming language used in Ethereum is Turing complete, whereas Bitcoin is a stack-based language, so that's old school, where Ethereum is probably more AI-based. Other differences include block time, which is an Ethereum transaction. It is confirmed in seconds compared to minutes for Bitcoin. In their basic builds, Ethereum uses Fhash, while Bitcoin uses a secure hash algorithm, which is the SHA-256. And that, again, is an old school algorithm that's used in like wireless technologies and stuff. However, from a general point of view, Bitcoin and Ethereum differ in purpose. While Bitcoin is created as an alternative to regular money and is thus a medium of payment transaction and a store of value, Ethereum is developed as a platform which facilitates peer-to-peer contracts and applications via its own currency vehicle. While Bitcoin and Ether are both digital currencies, the primary purpose of Ether is to not establish itself as a payment alternative, unlike Bitcoin, but to facilitate and monetize the working of Ethereum to enable developers to build and run distributed applications. The bottom line, in sum, is that Ethereum is a framework, and it is an advance based on a principle of blockchain that supports Bitcoin, but with a purpose that does not compete with Bitcoin. However, the popularity and rising market capitalization of Ether brings it in competition with all cryptocurrencies, especially from a trading perspective. Currently, the market cap is more than Ripple or Litecoin, although it is far behind Bitcoin. And on the whole, Bitcoin and Ethereum are different versions of using blockchain, and they establish themselves driven by different intentions. So, where does that take us? To the blockchain wars. This was written yesterday, also out of Investopedia. Blockchain wars. IOTA's Tangle, so this is another technology on the blockchain, takes on Ethereum. Oh, so this is like another 3.0. The blockchain craze continues unabated as more and more companies create new applications faster than ever. The architecture made popular by Bitcoin and its contemporaries has proven to be a useful tool that offers better scrutiny and transparency, leading to its growing adoption in several industries thanks to its effective communication and its public ledger. Even so, blockchain's meteoric rise has not been without speed bumps, and there have been instances where it has shown weaknesses that could prove to be major challenges down the road. In an industry such as the Internet of Things, ding ding, blockchain's capabilities have proven to be particularly strong fit. Interconnected devices require rapid and transparent data verification, something blockchain's ledger can handle exceptionally well. So this is going to enable the Internet of Things and then the Internet of Everything to include you. However, some have complained that blockchain's somewhat rigid architecture makes it well-suited for robustly storing small amounts of data, and this means it is not truly scalable for such things as big data that has come to be synonymous with IoT. This and other concerns have led a team of developers to launch a company named IOTA, which is a cryptocurrency platform designed for the demanding IoT ecosystem. With a twist on the traditional blockchain, the company calls Tangle, and IOTA claims to provide zero-fee transactions, as well as a unique verification process that revolves around many scalability problems associated with Bitcoin. Tangle is attempting to position itself as a viable alternative to Ethereum blockchain, which is still the gold standard for most applications built on the architecture. But regardless, new Ethereum-based solutions for the IoT could render the discussion moot, offering a better way for Internet of Things to function. Storage versus streaming. One of the biggest points of contention between supporters of blockchain and Tangle is that the former's capacity for data storage. Internet of Things systems creates massive amounts of data to parse and store. So as you put these devices in your home, remember it is collecting anything it can about you and it is storing it somewhere. And most existing blockchains simply cannot handle the load. Indeed, the technology is meant to offer strong, secure storage for limited amounts of data. Detractors argue that this philosophy is incompatible with Internet of Things design and proffers that Tangle delivers a better solution thanks to its take on mining. With the IOTA, every transaction requires the user to verify two other random transactions, creating a Tangle ledger that reduces the need for mining and theoretically removes any fees. So you get the people on the network to do the work for you. This makes it a useful infrastructure for IoT devices that require micro and nano transactions to be communicated without raising overhead. In this sense, Tangle architecture does exhibit most notable advantages over blockchain. Transactions processing in blockchain means that much larger blocks of sizes and volumes will take significantly longer to process as they must be completely verified to be appended to the chain. For an IoT platform, that could represent prohibitive costs and a lack of functionality due to longer processing times. However, some blockchain-based applications could present a third option using Ethereum's blockchain, helping to resolve many of the issues with data storage. Streamr with an R, which is an application based on Ethereum, has designed a platform for IoT systems that uses live data streaming, ding, 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 instead of storage. So let's get those constellations of satellites up in the air. Make sure we can stream real time 24/7 everything we are collecting about you. And in the development of the team's mind, storage in such technology is superfluous on an atomic level, as most devices require live data to make it possible to make decisions as opposed to outdated information just a few seconds old. Moreover, Streamr proposes to create a marketplace that allows Internet of Things providers to monetize their live data streams on you and create a greater incentive for interconnectedness and participation in feeding the machine. The system even hosts a development environment designed to facilitate easy creation of Internet of Things applications. Are you getting the picture yet? Ethereum and Tangle, which reigns supreme? Well, on a deeper level, this IoT battle between Streamr and IOTA represents a broader clash of philosophies. On one hand, blockchain has proven to be a game-changing technology. Ethereum's smart contracts and architecture have led to a boom in the sector and the democratization of information. Ding! So they've democratized everything that is causing the crash. And that is the crash of our autonomy. On the other hand, we are becoming a big global society, whether we like it or not. On the other hand, Tangle offers to virtually remove the cost of transactions and solve the mining issues thanks to its verification methodology. IOTA also claims that its verification method removes many of the centralization problems that traditional mining creates, and that would be cost and overhead because there is no need for miners to process blocks of transactions. There is no motivation to centralize the verification process. However, Ethereum backers have countered that even with Tangle's supposedly superior design, they must still run on hardware that is not optimized for this type of process. Instead, verification could become bogged down due to the existing technology's puny binary architecture. And remember, we looked at binary versus quantum yesterday, leading to a longer processing time down the line. Moreover, solutions like Streamr render the data conversion moot as they remove the burden of data storage from the blockchain by streaming in real time and monetizing the process. And instead of handling massive amounts of data that can crash the network, live streaming data offers an immediate solution for Internet of Things and reduces the overall chain's operational load. More importantly, however, is that the existing ecosystem is already geared toward existing platforms such as Ethereum, and by creating applications that fit into the wider environment, developers can reduce the development costs and the compatibility issues. So, the potential on blockchain is stated to be limitless. Blockchain technology provides accurate information and data that has been verified by multiple people before it is entered into a block. It is publicly available and it cannot be changed, and it is far more accurate than information and data that is provided in verified platforms, which can be rife with errors and incompleteness. Blockchain provides the most reliable source of information and knowledge that can be used by retailers, governments, businesses, financial institutions, nonprofits, healthcare, and educational organizations, as well as by scientific researchers and more, to make the most informed decisions. So then I ran across something this morning by Holland and Knight, which appears to be a law firm. I'm not exactly sure from where, but I have their website, Holland and Knight, ehklaw.com. This was a story from yesterday titled 2018 NDAA Analysis. And we haven't heard about the National Defense Authorization Act in quite a long time. Signals toward the federal government's growing interest in blockchain technology. And that caught my attention. This is the seventh blog post in a series analyzing the current draft of the 2018 National Defense Authorization Act as signed into law December 12th, 2017. Stay tuned for more blog posts covering additional topics in the near future from Holland and Knight's Government Contracts team. The term blockchain remains a mystery to many, but its potential is extremely intriguing, particularly as applied to the government's contracting industry. As reflected in the 2018 NDAA, which is HR 2810, the federal government is cautiously entering into the blockchain waters. This blog post will first attempt to explain what blockchain is, and then we'll review some of the government's efforts to understand how blockchain can improve its business process. And that's how this is rolling all out. This is as a business process. This is for trusted contracts and autonomous exchanges between entities. And then artificial intelligence manages it all on the back end. It makes transactions based upon whatever application you are applying, and that application could be supply chain or distribution of any type of service. There are entire divisions within corporations and within governments that deal with contract administration, and they are looking, those are pretty well-paying jobs as well, because they involve knowledge of law and contracts and precision. These are going to be more white-collar jobs that are going to be vaporized by the machine. So where does this lead us? So the federal government is getting very interested, and I don't know if I really want to get into all the details of their back-end GSA contract operations, but it is very sizable on the government side of things. But this story caught my attention as well. In Israel, that's another one of our mad offshore science laboratory countries, a blockchain and a crypto hypercluster is just getting started. In recent times, it's Eastern Europe and Russia which have become the hotbed of cryptocurrency development. But on a recent trip to Tel Aviv, Israel, Mike Butcher, took part in what might turn out to be a historic lunch. The lunch took place just after a well-known tech investor, Moshe Hogeg, announced to the world that he would invest every in every Israeli blockchain company that approached him. And then investor group called Alignment consisted of a Singularity Team technology group together with a Cointree Capital and Blockchain IL. Held at Alignment's new blockchain hub in Tel Aviv, we got to hear from an array of new companies. Dubbed by many as a startup nation, Tel Aviv has begun to produce a new breed of tech giants, but it is now turning its hand to blockchain and crypto companies. In recent months, my mailbox has become inundated with pitches from companies claiming to be the next blockchain phenomenon with plans to revolutionize the finance world, the healthcare landscape, the travel industry, and you name it. The problem is, which one, if any, can deliver? And however, after getting deep into the subject with the companies that I met, I realized that many were at least onto something. Whether they would survive or not, well, here's a rundown of who I met with. The first one is Era Chain. The idea of blockchain networks that works for the average person is still far off, but Era Chain wants to address that. The next one is Zen Protocol. Adam Perlow wanted to focus on making Bitcoin better, usable, and more useful. He spent last year creating Zen Protocol, which is leveraging blockchain and the popularity of Bitcoin, trying to decentralize the financial system by building a new protocol that is purpose-built for finance. Third one is called Coti, C-O-T-I. And they have not yet tapped into the full potential, but trust is centralized and held by banks and Visa, etc. And since these are centralized, there are high fees. But meanwhile, Ethereum and Ripple is not designed for payments, so there's a solution system built from the ground up to be made for payment mechanisms in which zero instant fees are reversible and have anti-fraud mechanisms. So that's where this Coti falls in. I don't know if we're going to get into all these, but there's 10 or 12 of them all being created now in Israel. But here's something that I discovered. Even though the world is being taken by storm by blockchain, there is an imminent threat to blockchain, and that is quantum computing. There's a lot of research going into quantum computing right now, including lots of research over the years by DARPA and researchers at MIT. We heard yesterday listening to a couple lectures and a professor from there. So when they get really good at quantum computing, we found out China has a national initiative, if I'm not mistaken, dedicated to quantum computing and quantum internet and all these different quantum satellites and things. Because they can use qubits, and that would be better than the puny bits of zeros and ones. Qubits are zeros, ones, and half zero, half one, or a combination of any two. It allows it to operate much faster than any digital miner. On the blockchain, and will it allow it to crack the keys? Because that is the worry. They can generate keys faster and try to crack it. So as we have governments developing quantum computing in the future, and all these technologies across the board, including healthcare, are going to be on the blockchain because it is a contract. And, you know, we got that. Those pesky HIPAA laws. We got to find a way to get all your data out there somewhere in a format that can be accessed as big data. Don't doubt that your information won't be able to be accessed by the all-seeing, all-knowing machine. So I don't want to run out of time, and I'm already getting there, but we got about 10 minutes or so. I started a story at the end of the show. It was a paper titled Blockchain Thinking, The Brain as a Decentralized Autonomous Organization. And I just started getting into the definition of thinking. Thinking has always been intuitively conceived as computational, And it is just that now perhaps blockchains provide the additional functionality required to better realize these ideas. A fundamental definition could be that thinking is a situation where there are inputs which are processed and turned into outputs. And in fact, many reality processes have this underlying structure of an input processed output, including operations as diverse as manufacturing and political elections. Yeah, what are they calling reality now? Reality processes, because we're all going to become part of this machine. For the context of blockchain thinking, the definition can be qualified to situations that involve thinking, cognition, mental processing and understanding in ways that are not exclusively limited to humans. Inputs, including both data from outside the system, like sensory data, and data retrieved from inside the system, like memory. These inputs are brought into a specific location for processing. Remember, we were talking about these internal and external inputs when we were talking about ELF frequencies yesterday and the different frequencies that the brain operates upon. I think that was the delta frequency that, or maybe it was the alpha that changed when you had different foci from internal to external sensory perceptions and thoughts. Inputs are brought into the specific location for processing and processed where they are stored, and the outputs might be taking an action, storing something back into memory, conducting a transaction, or making a note or a trigger for some future action. Blockchains might be used to work with digital mind files. And we talked about digital mind files yesterday. Yes, those would be uploads of full human mind files in the future. And their current prototypes would be the digital identities of things such as Facebook and LinkedIn profiles through their asset management, property registration, and access control features. There could be personal thinking chains as a life logging storage and backup mechanism, such as seen in one of the episodes of Black Mirror. I hate to mention that series all the time, but you know, a lot of listeners had left me messages over the years saying, you got to watch Black Mirror, you got to watch Black Mirror. And I finally get a chance to watch some episodes. There are a few on YouTube, but most of them are out on Netflix, I believe. And I have to say that some of the technologies that we talk about on this show are played out in theatrical science fiction in the series of Black Mirror. And one of them was life logging storage and backup. So once you died, they could kind of replicate almost a virtual persona of you. So there would be personal thinking chains as a life logging storage and backup mechanism. And the concept is a blockchain technology plus an in vivo personal connectome, quote unquote, to encode all of a person's thinking and make it useful in a standardized compressed data format. The data could be captured via a quantified self-tracking device, wearable, or intracortical recording, a consumer EEG, a brain-computer interface, a cognitive nanobot, or other methodology. That kind of ties really nicely into probably the last 5 or 6 years of this show as to how all of this is going to fit together with blockchain, except they're going to use all those devices and those consumer interactions with the machine and connecting ourselves to the Internet of Everything to recreate you on the blockchain through a digital mind file. Through the transactional logging of this data, the basics for thinking could be instantiated in a blockchain, which is really all of an individual's subjective experiences, possibly eventually their consciousnesses, which could allow consciousnesses to be more precisely defined. Once on the blockchain, the variety of components could be administered and transacted, meaning engaged, for example, in the case of a post-stroke memory restoration. Yeah, I'm going to step up for that one here. We're going to re-upload you after your stroke damaged your memory. There has not yet been a very good health data commons model with the appropriate privacy and reward system for the public sharing of personal health data and quantified self-tracking data and likewise mental performance data. But don't worry about it because it is coming. Blockchains might provide exactly such a structure for creating a secure, remunerated, owner information controlled health data commons. And at the individual level of personalized medicine, remember, personal health is big data problems that need effective universal orchestration, security, and access mechanisms like a blockchain technology. At the societal level, the argument for blockchain technology is even stronger. Medical research needs access to big health data for discovery, too. And if they get your data, they will get it for free. That's like the All of Us program to donate your genomic data for research to make them bazillions of dollars in big pharma. And the promise of the machine learning revolution has thus far not been realized in the context of health because of those pesky HIPAA regulations and because data is still siloed away and that is locked away in private data stores and in any case digitally inoperable, yet there is not an effective health XML feed. Blockchains could then be employed as an effective, secure, large-scale data management mechanism to coordinate the information of millions and billions of individuals. Now, guys, as I'm reading this, I'm getting echoes back to Thomas Wheeler giving his speech to, I don't even know, I think it was a federal speech in regards to why the FCC and everyone else in Congress needed to embrace the 5G rollout nationwide to keep us at the front of the line, to get us ahead for this full coming onslaught of being able to utilize connectivity to make bazillions of dollars on information that can be garnered. Personal connectome files, like personal genome files and electronic medical records, could be registered and orchestrated via blockchains. A personal connectome file is your own mind file, the anatomical and functioning map of your own brain, and it is hoped that in the future that connectomes might make it possible to share not just quantitative information about brain state, but also qualitative experience like sentiment, affect, and valence, and what it is really like to be you in that moment. This could finally be the answer to the subjective experience questions, such as whether I see red the way you do, or whether it is like what it is like to be a bat. And the idea would be to register your personal connectome file on the blockchain, just as electronic medical records and genomes are done now. The files are not literally stored on the blockchain, but stored in blockchain register transactions that have a unique ownership signifier and include pointers to files which are stored securely in decentralized off-chain locations. Thus, health record blockchains could be used to denote ownership and manage access to these kinds of sensitive data files. A blockchain-based coordination system could be ideal for personal health record management, for privacy, security, access control, and just sheer administration, because the big data era is meaning that billions of data elements may comprise any one individual's health file. Now, guys, I really think that this is what is behind the whole Obamacare initiative that then has since failed, and this whole rollback. And this whole, oh my God, now we don't have a solution, yet we have people who are in need of healthcare, problem, reaction, solution. Let's put it on the blockchain, lower costs, lower data processing and transaction fees, and give it to the artificial intelligence, maybe even Dr. Watson, to administer everything and make this a better world. NVIDIA has all kinds of new partnerships with different MRI companies and GE Healthcare and some others, I believe, that is making this a reality. There's even more sensitivity and stigma attached to sharing mind data than other forms of personal data like purchasing transactions and your physical health data. But these are kind of live streaming and blockchain technology models could facilitate a number of ways to share the data privately, safely, and remuneratively. Life logging could include a personal thinking blockchain to capture and safely encode all of an individual's mental performance, emotions, and subjective experiences onto one blockchain at minimum for backup and to pass on to one's heirs as a historical record. Yeah, I don't know if I want my grandchildren to know what I was thinking or feeling. Personal mind file blockchains could be like a next generation of a Fitbit or an Apple's iHealth on the iPhone 6, which now automatically captures 200 plus health metrics and seamlessly uploads them to the cloud for data aggregation and processing into actionable recommendations. So I wonder if the user of the iPhone 6 knew about that one. Similarly, data could be used and easily and securely recorded to personal thinking chains and mental performance optimization recommendations made to an individual through services such as Siri, Google Now, Microsoft's Cortana, and Amazon's Alexa assistant, perhaps even piped seamlessly to a personal brain-computer interface or delivered as an ambient suggestion or in interaction with personal robots like Robot Base's Personal Robot, MIT's Jibo, or Amazon's Echo. Speculatively, ultimately, the whole of a society's history might not just be public records and document repositories, but also an internet archive of all digital activity, but also all the mind files of all the individuals that live there. Mind files could include every transaction in a sense of capturing every thought and emotion of every entity, human and machine, encoding and archiving this activity into a life-logging blockchain. The blockchain's health argument, which is using blockchain as a large-scale coordination mechanism for the integrated analysis of an individual and populations, quickly extends from pathology resolution to preventative medicine to cognitive enhancement to blockchain thinking. And that is where they are taking us. That is the path. That is why we need to get connected via 5G, 24/7, real-time monitoring, connected via our devices to the big pulsating brain in the sky to be integrated.